Lord, for this day, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have shown us, enlightened us from your word, that we're growing up in all things. I thank you, this church is growing up, Father. We're maturing, moving forward in our faith, and using our faith skillfully on purpose, Father, for your glory and for your honor. So thank you, Father, as we continue to talk about prayer. Give us insight, revelation, truth, principles, Father, to act upon, and help us, Father, in our prayer life. Father, I pray for the people of Good News Church that they're stirred up today, stirred up in their hearts, and that they'll go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace in a time of need. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Anybody ever hear of Bear Bryant? Maybe some folks around here don't like Bear Bryant, but he coached Alabama, one of the great coaches in college football history. And there's a pretty intense rivalry between Alabama and Auburn, and they were playing in one of their games one year, and it was late in the fourth quarter, and Alabama's starting quarterback went down with an injury. And so the second string quarterback, you know, gets ready to go in, and the Alabama's down to Auburn's 35-yard line, and there's just about 2 minutes to go, and Alabama's up by 5 points. And so Coach Bryant says to the second string quarterback, you know, because this is pretty important, the instructions you're going to give to the second string quarterback. You know, the first string, you can kind of just say a few things, and he's just going to be able to take it and run with it. But you want to make sure this guy pays attention and follows directions. And so the Coach Bryant says to him, this is what I want you to do. I do not want you to pass. You run the ball each down, and even if we don't get anywhere, our defense will hold them, and we're going to win this game. Son, do you got that? He says, yeah, I got it, coach. And second string quarterback, all excited, he runs in there. I mean, this is his big chance to save the day and to help Alabama win another game. And so it's first and 10, and first down, they're stopped. They run the ball, and they're stopped. Second down, they run the ball, they lose a yard. Third down, they run the ball again, just following the coach's orders. They gain another yard. They gain yards, and so it's still, you know, so it's fourth down and 10. All right, so the quarterback takes a snap on fourth down, and he misses the guy that he's supposed to hand off to. And so he kind of panics, doesn't really know what to do, so he's kind of running around the backfield. And as he's running around the backfield, he sees a wide receiver wide open near the end zone. Says, hey, well, hey, you know, here I am. He's wide open. Why don't I throw? I'm going to throw him the ball. So he throws the ball. But what he didn't see was the fastest man on the field was the safety for Auburn. And this safety saw the pass. And ran over there and just in the last moment caught the pass and started streaking down the sidelines towards the end zone. Do you get the picture? This game has suddenly turned around here. Nobody around. There's only one person that can catch him, and that's the quarterback. And the quarterback just runs and he races and finally catches up with him, knocks him out of bounds. Alabama goes on to win the game. Well, Pat Dye, who coached Auburn, asked him later on when he saw him. He said, you know, I read the scouting reports on this second-string quarterback. He wasn't very fast. How is it that this guy caught our fastest guy? And Bear Bryant kind of smiles and he says, well, your man was just running for the goal line for a touchdown. My man was running for his life. And if you know about Bear Bryant, that is the truth. He was running for his life. Now, we've been talking about prayer these last 2 weeks, but we need to begin to pray like our lives and others depended on it. We need to step up the intensity level of our prayer life. And I heard this in prayer. It's time for folks to wake up. We need to wake up and realize the time that we're in. Turn to 1 Timothy, please. Now, 1 Timothy is written to a man that is spirit-filled, obviously saved, spirit-filled, growing in the things of God, a disciple of Paul, disciple of Jesus, in the ministry, pastoring. So it's just, you know, I want you to catch this before I read this verse in 1 Timothy 2. He's saved, filled with the Spirit, growing in the things of God, disciple, believer. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says, First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. So prayer, and now I understand someone that's new to the things of God, just gotten saved, young in the Lord, maybe not understand or heard anything about prayer, but for us that have been saved for a while and have walked with God, we need to take hold of what he's saying here. And we say, you know, first of all, we need to pray. We need to pray about our day, about our lives, about our businesses, about our families, about our church, about the plan of God. Paul's admonishing us, urging us to do that. Now, so week one, we talked about the power of prayer. Week two, we talked about prayer benefits. Now, today I want to talk about prayer essentials. Some essential ingredients that we have to have in our prayer, in our prayers. Now, there are several, but I want to focus on two today. First one is found in John 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. And let's look at verse 7. Now, this verse is conditional. It starts off with, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So there's a criteria here. Before we can go to the next part, the word of God has to abide in you. Putting God's word, you know, hearing God's word, speaking God's word, meditating, thinking about God's word. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Underline that word desire. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is a key essential for prayer is desire. Desire is essential for effective prayer. Now, we're not talking about a wish. You know, if you were to say to me today, well, I wish I'd go see that movie. That means sometime, maybe never. You may or may not see it. You just kind of wish, I'll go see it. But if you come to me and say, I have got to see this movie today, let's go right now, that's a little different. And so when we're talking about desire, we're talking about a longing, a craving, a burning, are yearning and aching desire. Now, the closest analogy I can give to you about the kind of desire I'm talking about is someone that's had an addiction to drugs or alcohol. That if they are hooked on those things and they try to get off, and you've experienced it, or maybe you've seen someone go through it, or maybe you've watched someone try to act on TV as they go through that. But it's very difficult because their body is so craving that alcohol, so craving the drugs that it affects their whole body. And that's the kind of desire I'm talking about here in prayer. Having a desire. Not just kind of going into to prayer and kind of just, well, this is my duty and this is what the pastor asked me to do and I'm supposed to do this. Some kind of a religious. No, going into prayer with a burning in your heart. Now, desire is an absolute essential of prayer. And what prayer is an expression of your desire. Prayer gives voice to your desire. Prayer takes your inward desire and makes it a reality in this natural arena. The deeper the desire, the stronger the prayer. Who wants to have a strong prayer life? Wants to pray strong prayers, powerful prayers. Well, powerful prayers come out of strong desire. Now, what creates desire in our lives? I'm talking about godly desire, not ungodly. What creates godly desire? You ever been hungry? Are you hungry right now? Desire comes from need. Need creates desire. The stronger the need, the greater the desire. One of the most powerful prayer times in the Bible is Jesus in the garden. And talk about someone facing a huge need. It was Jesus at that moment. He knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to be whipped. He knows about the thorns. He knows about the nails. All the different things that's going to happen to him. He's seen it already in prayer. He's seen it already in the Word of God. He knows what he's going to face. And just, can you just imagine? I mean, just imagine yourself going through the toughest trial and situation of your life. And so in his prayer time was so intense. Such strong desire, the Bible says, that his sweat was blood. Now, we can't even imagine that kind of an intensity in our prayer life. But he had a huge need that he faced. And so he had strong desire. The Bible says that angels came and strengthened him. And from that prayer time came the fortitude and what he needed, the courage to face what he was about to face. Now, he could have gotten out of that situation. He could have walked out from among them like he had done earlier. He said he could have called legions of angels to come help him if he wanted to. But he had the strength within him, I believe because of his prayer time. The strength to face one of the toughest situations that he's ever faced or any person has ever faced. Hunger is a physical need that prompts our request for bread. What desire that we have is based on our need. Have you ever been in a crisis? Or trial, I know that you have. I would think that you'd have more intense prayer in that situation than you would in a day where everything's just going great, What causes that? The need is great. The urgency of the situation. Now, I don't have it on PowerPoint, but let's go to Revelation chapter 3 and let's look at why there's lack of desire real quick. In Revelation, John writes by the Spirit of God about seven different churches. And I want to read about the church in Laodicea. And this is the church that you remember, and we'll read in just a moment, about being lukewarm, complacent. And what does God say that He's going to do with this church if they don't make a change? Spew them out of His mouth. Well, that's not a pretty sight there. Revelation 3, verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. If there's no passion, no desire in our prayer time, it's because we don't think God can meet the need, we don't know that He wants to meet the need, or we want to handle the need on our own. This church was a very wealthy church. They live in a very wealthy city. And so in essence, they said to God, we have no need of you. We can take care of ourselves. And so really, you know, a church like this, we've got to watch ourselves because we get our prayers answered. We know our authority. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a lot of revelation and truth and things that we know. And so this is something we've got to guard against because you can grow cold. You can grow lukewarm even in the midst of all that we have here at Good News Church. When you begin to rely on yourself, you won't pray about something that you think you can handle. If you think you've got the relationship handled, you're not going to pray about it. If you think you've got your finances, that's your world, and I'm going to take care, you know, God's over here, and I'm just going to handle it. And that's what happens is we start going through the motions. Even though we have all this knowledge and all this understanding, and we've heard all this preaching, we've got all these tapes, all these books, one of the most blessed generations for revelation in the history of mankind. People in other generations would love to know what we know. But what can happen so easily is you just start going through the motions. Start relying on yourself. Well, I'm going to handle that one. And look at what it says. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, you know, I'm a pastor. I get concerned about people. I can get concerned about situations that you're facing and things you're going through, but I'm concerned about you spiritually. And so today, I'm asking you to do a kind of a real checkup. Not on what you know, but on reality. Not on what you intend to do, but on the reality is to do a checkup of your spiritual state right now. What kind of, if you were to put a sign on your head or wear a t-shirt, What would that t-shirt say of your present spiritual condition? Are you going through the motions? Are you just faking it? Are you relying on someone else? Do you even know what I'm talking about when I talk about desire? Is that how you just describe your prayer time? A burning, a yearning, an aching? Prayer is an inward longing for something we do not possess. Something God has promised. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Having a desire or an appetite for food is a sign that you're alive. It's a sign that you are alive and that you are healthy. If you don't have an appetite over a period of time, that's a sign that your health isn't right. And so there ought to be, as you pray, when you pray, a desire there, an appetite for God, an appetite for the things of God, a yearning for God and for His ways. Now let's go over to James chapter 5, verse 16. Please turn there. Glad you're here today. I don't want to be a church that's deceived. I don't want to be a church that God vomits out of His mouth. I want to be a church where God's power and God's glory is, His love, His power. And I want that for you, and I want that for you in your life. I want you to have a real relationship with God and not just a relationship based on your parents or on their relationship with God, but to have your own real relationship with Him. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The affected, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Amplified Bible says, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." Fervency is intense desire. When you're fervent in your prayer, it's intense desire. It's going boldly to the throne. You notice it says boldly? It doesn't say tiptoeing. It doesn't say crawling. No, when you're bold, you know, when you're boldly going somewhere, I mean, you're a person with a mission. You've got a plan. You're boldly going about your day, boldly going about your business. And that's the way it says to go into God's, go into the throne of grace, is to be bold about it. You're going in there with some intensity. Because you know the reason why you're bold is because you know in that time of prayer, something's going to happen. Heaven and earth is going to move. The angels of God are going to move. Things are going to change. The situation's going to change. Your finances are going to get better. Relationships are going to get better. God's plan's going to spread and move. But we got to wake up. We need to wake up and stop playing games. Wake up, stop playing church, stop playing church games, stop playing religious games, stop playing Christian games, and get down to business. And he says, "First of all, I urge you and admonish you to pray." To pray. Because when we pray, It makes tremendous power available. Now, we're talking about fervent prayer. It doesn't have to be loud. I'm not talking about being loud as some kind of a gauge. It doesn't have to be showy. I'm not saying that. We make a big production to see how fervent we are. That's not what I'm saying. But fervent prayer has life to it. It has passion. It has energy. Do you notice that Jesus said we'd be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire? Fire consumes. Fire has energy. Fire brings heat. Fire brings life. Fire brings light, We're baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now let's say you've got a fireplace in your home, gas fireplace. And let's say that it's really cold, and you go into your living room or great room, wherever it is, and you kind of sit down and you just sit there and you stare at the fireplace. Now, how long will it take with you staring at the fireplace for the fire to come on and warm up the room? An hour? 2 hours? 24 hours? 10 years? No, you got to get up from the chair. And first of all, you got to have a fuel source. Our house, we have a propane tank. And that tank's got to be filled up on a regular basis. If there's no propane, there's no gas, there's no fuel. And so in this analogy, the fuel for the fireplace would be faith. Faith that comes from God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's Word. Your faith level can get low, it can be high. Scriptures talk about no faith, little faith, great faith. It's got a faith level. But so the fuel source comes into the fireplace, but on our particular one, there's a pilot light that's got to be turned on. And that pilot light, once we turn it on, most of the time it'll stay on, but it's running all the different time, and it'll give a little bit of heat. So the pilot light is the desire. You have to go over there, you have to turn it on, get the pilot light going. But then there's the fervency coming where you turn it up and the fire comes. So, components for prayer, for powerful prayer, strong prayer, faith, which comes from God's Word, desire, fervency. How you doing there? How you doing on faith? You hearing God's Word? Putting God's Word into the gates to your spirit, in your ears, in your eyes, speaking God's Word? How you doing there? How you doing with your intent, your desire level? Because when you're in God's Word, you see the need. You see what He's capable of doing. You see what He can do in your body, in your finances, in your relationship. You see weakness. But then as you grow in the things of God, you get out beyond yourself and you start seeing other people's needs. And that's where the Christian life really begins to get exciting. And so there is no reason to have boring, dull prayer time. And there is tremendous need. So if there's tremendous need, there ought to be tremendous desire. And if there's tremendous desire, then we ought to be praying. And then as we go into our prayer time, we can determine the intensity. God's not going to do it. We determine the intensity of the time that we have in prayer. The early Methodists didn't have heat in their churches. Didn't have heat in their churches because they expected there to be flames in the pew and fire from the preachers to keep the church warm. What's the temperature in this room today? You said it, not me. Early church, you know, we're reading about it in Acts. They had a lot of passion. Now, they had some persecution, and maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need to go before the lions to see if we'll start praying. Maybe have a few of us crucified. Who's it going to be? Nate first. Maybe we need to have the government turn around and say it's now illegal to be Christians. Is that what we need to happen? We need to have now the government, the police, the army is against us. See what's happened is because of our prosperity, we've gotten fat. And the reality now, I'm not talking about what we intend to happen, what we think should happen. I'm telling you about what really is happening is we've gotten fat. And we talk a big game, but the reality of how we live our lives does not match up. And so it is time to wake up. It's time to wake up and say, who are we? What is our purpose here? Are we just here to get by until Jesus comes? Are we just to have a comfortable life? I mean, the early church, the scriptures talk about, they had all things in common. They had a passion and an intensity for each other. And if necessary, they would die for each other. Do we have that kind of intensity here? Now, I know this is a heavy message, and I know this is like for some people that are just like new to this or are a visitor today. They're going, dear God, what do we got going on here at Good News Church? Well, you just pick this day to come. I mean, what can I say? I like what Paul says over in Philippians, verse 7. I'll just start reading in verse 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Because I have you in my heart. And see, that's just, I don't know if we understand what we're talking about here, is to have people in your heart. When you have people in your heart, I mean, it just changes the way you pray. It changes the way you think about things. you know, their need becomes your need. And again, I'm not saying that you have to carry the care, because we're not supposed to carry our care. But it changes your prayer time from just, you know, well, I need this and I need that and I need that, to, well, they need this, they need that, they're going through this. And see, so we're never without things to pray about. There's plenty to pray about. And I'm just telling you that a few in this church cannot carry this church. And I have the desire to have, I mean, I want to have an Acts 29 church. I don't want to have a Laodicean church. So I guess this is what I'm crying out here, and I'm asking, if you want me to beg, I'll beg. But I'm asking for more people to pray. And I'm not going to give you a time amount and say how long and all that. I'm just saying, will you pray more? Will you step it up? Will you be like the second string quarterback? You may not be the fastest. You may not be the best. You may not be the one that stands out. But will you just step up the intensity? Step it up. And again, if one does it and another does it and another does it and another does it, what will happen in this ministry? The flame will be so bright it'll burn this building down. We'll have to build another one. The flame will be so bright this 7 acres won't be able to contain this church. Now I want to illustrate the close of my message today. I want to illustrate to you how this works. And I want to show you the correlation between the word and faith, desire, and intensity. I want to just read a couple scriptures to you. Put them up in PowerPoint. First scripture. Well, I love this prayer by John Knox. John Knox, the translator of the Bible, great believer, great Christian. He said this, "Give me Scotland or I will die." I like that, don't you? Give me Scotland or I will die. But Psalm 2, verse 8 says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." See, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. If we don't like the way things are and the way things are going, let me ask you this question. Have you asked God about it? Have you prayed about it? Have you gone to the Word? Gone to the Scriptures? Well, I've got some Scriptures here, and I'm talking about the destiny of this ministry, the destiny of Good News Church, and this is our destiny here. In this verse, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance." The nations is our inheritance. "And the ends of the earth for your possession." Next verse, Isaiah 43. Verse 5. "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west, and I will say to the north, give them up. Give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth." So what you do, Now, this is just one part. I'm talking about this church, and I'm talking about calling people in that are supposed to be here. Because I know this is not all that God has right here. And so, go to the Word, find the promises, feed on those promises, meditate on them, get them in your heart, get your heart so full. Then you take that faith, and then you step over into your prayer time. And what's happened? Desire has been created. I'm mixing what God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to me in God's Word, and I'm mixing them together, and I'm seeing this need, and God's saying to me, come on, come into the throne of grace. Come and ask. Come and declare. Come and speak some things. So I take all that, and then I step over into the prayer time, whatever that may be. It doesn't have to be some closet somewhere. It can be while you're driving. It can be out in the parking lot. It can be in the bathroom. I mean, but then you take it in there and you take those scriptures and then you start declaring them, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, you pray it. And then what happens? Dynamic power has been made available. You see what I'm talking about? And you can do this. Talk about finances. Anybody here wanting a breakthrough in your finances? Go to the Word, feed on the Word, build that on the inside of you, and then take it to God. Go to the throne of grace. Relationships, your kids. I mean, there are so many promises concerning every area. And then, but see, then you do that for you personally, but then you start saying, hey, who else do we got in this church? Is there anybody else in this church that needs prayer? And the Holy Spirit can lead you, or in your time of fellowship with them, you can start, you know, getting a plan for each person. And you can go into your prayer plan. I'm going to say, I'm praying for Janice today. And I maybe got some scriptures. And then I begin to just go before God and talk to God about Janice. And begin to declare some things about Janice. Not what I think, but what God's Word says about Janice. And I'm telling you, it changes everything. Prayer becomes, again, something powerful. And then you know what you're going to see? Just like we're talking about harvest, you start seeing answered prayer. All right, let's stand. Let's do it. Are we ready to do this? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, and according to Psalms chapter 2, we ask you for the nations. Nations, groups of people, key influencers, people of all shapes and sizes, and backgrounds, and economic backgrounds, and social status, and education status. Father, we call them in to this church. And we speak to the north, the south, the east, and the west. People, you come and take your place in this church. Satan, take your hands off God's property and remove those blinders. Come take your place. Come take your place in this church to be saved and filled with the Spirit and to be trained in God's Word and to grow up into all things and then be able to take that Word to the streets. Thank you, Lord. Hey, thank you, Lord. I know, Lord. I know what you're saying to me. Are you ready for the people? I don't know if we are, but bring them on anyways. We'll deal with that as it happens. Bring them on. Bring them on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And thank you for your grace to handle the growth, to handle the increase. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, stir up these people. Stir them up. Get people in their faces. Stir them up right now. And that the desire and passion for you will just be burning in their hearts. That they are hungry and thirsty for you and for your plan. And they hunger and thirst for righteousness, Father, and that they are filled. Filled to overflowing. Father, I'm just not talking about adults. I'm talking about kids. I'm talking about young people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is one of the keys for this year. Spending more time with the Father. Spending time of fellowship and talking to Him. This is the key for 2007. So don't just be a hearer only, but be a doer. Take that step towards God. Take that step towards His plan. Open the door just a little bit to Him and He'll come flooding in to your life. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen. Only good things are going to happen. God's best. So step out of the boat today. Step out and walk on the water. Dare to be bold. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Susie?